Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.
Velkommen til Aftenklubben på Nova Podcast.
Husk, at du kan høre dagens aktuelle udsendelse søndag til fredag kl. 21 på Nova.
Her i Aftenklubben, der skal det nu til at handle om et interview, som jeg havde tidligere i dag. Faktisk lige præcis i det her samme studie, som jeg sidder i lige nu. Grunden til, at jeg lige laver en introduktion på det, det er fordi, at interviewet gik meget direkte i gang. Og det var noget, der foregik på engelsk, så jeg tænkte, nu vil jeg lige præsentere ham på dansk, så vi alle sammen lige er med på, hvem det er, og hvor stor en verdensstjerne han egentlig er. Det er sådan så, at jeg har haft besøg af den australske Dean Lewis. Det er en fyr, som har lavet musik i en håndfuld år. Han udgav sit debutalbum tilbage i 2019. Han har mere end 5,6 milliarder streams på sine sange, og han har solgt over 3,1 millioner EP'er og albums på verdensplan. Og hans megahit, Be All Right, det er altså kommet med i 1 milliard streams klubben på Spotify. Og derudover, så kommer han også til Danmark. Det gør han senere i efteråret, hvor han besøger Store Vega i København den 27. september. Og Aarhus, der spiller han i Vauxhall den 28. september, altså dagen efter. Så han kommer snart til Danmark, og nu er han ude med en ny sang, der hedder Hurtless. Og hvis alt det, jeg lige har sagt, ikke ringer en klokke, så kan det være, at den her sang, den lige kan vække lidt mindelser frem.
But how am I supposed to love you when I don't love who I am? And how can I give you all of me when I'm only half a man? 'Cause I'm a sinking ship that's burning, so let go of my hand.
Den her sang hedder Half a Man, og det er nok en af begrundelserne for, at jeg fik besøg af ham her i studiet. Fordi det er en sang, der udkom for cirka 2,5 år siden, men her i år, der begyndte den altså at klatre sig op af de forskellige charts, de forskellige lister over populære sange her i Danmark. Og det gjorde den, fordi Tobias, som var deltager i årets X-Factor, han brugte den her sang til sin audition. Og ja, det er nok en af grundene til, at jeg også fik besøg af ham. Og det talte vi selvfølgelig om, og vi talte også om en hel masse andet. Det var mega hyggeligt. Men det var altså Dean Lewis, og jeg synes bare, vi skal springe til den snak, som jeg havde med ham. Og den kommer lige her.
Det her er Aftenklubben på Nova med Daniel Cesar.
And right now here in the program, I would like to welcome Dean Lewis. And Dean, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so stoked about you being here because you're like this big artist and I have this small radio program. But I'm so happy that you're here. How are you?
Great. And thank you. I'm glad that you think that. It's cool to have that reputation. But yeah, I'm great. You know, 2 years off with COVID, obviously I didn't have it. I mean, the pandemic. And then it's great to be back doing things again. I'm like feeling energized.
That's great. Yeah. And is this the third time that you're in Denmark?
Third time, but really the only proper time. I mean, every other time I've come, it's been for, I mean, I played Tinderbox Festival. I was here for like a day and I see nothing. And that was in the storm of Be Alright becoming huge 3 years ago. Then I came back and played a little show at a little small tour I did couple of months ago. So this is the first time I've kind of been here for a few days and really got to take the place in.
And what do you do when you're out and visiting a place like Denmark or another country? Do you read up on stuff? Do you know if I'm going to Sweden or the US, then I need to do this and that? Do you do anything like that or do you just like come?
Well, actually, you know, when Be Alright was like blowing up 3 years ago, I didn't see any of the world. Like I went everywhere, but I saw nothing because I was, you know, under so much, you know, when things start to happen, I was so wanted to capture it that I didn't, and I was so anxious about losing it that I didn't take anything in. So this time around, I promised myself that I was going to kind of enjoy myself. But you know, it's funny when pressure and see places, but when the pressure, you know, it's like there's always a reason to be anxious if you let it. And but I'm trying to go out and do things. I don't really I just trying to go, you know, if I'm staying in a certain area, I'll try to go out. Like I love Joe the Juice. I know that's probably like to be honest, like I'm such an Australian, like that's what we really know, like outside of of Denmark. It's just like Joe the Juice is everywhere. Like,
is that a big thing in Australia?
I think they're in Australia, but I know they're in LA. I spent a lot of time there, and I go there like, I mean, okay. every day, pretty much. I know it's like that doesn't represent Denmark, but I try to see a little bit. I've been trying to see a little bit this time around to see how it is. Yeah.
So what's your impression of Denmark?
Well, okay. Well, I actually played. I mean, okay. Firstly, beautiful city. I've never experienced this before. For some reason, so when Half a Man blew up, I just get so many videos of people at like parties or just with their friends, Danish people sending videos of them singing Half a Man. Just literally, they won't post it. They'll just send it to me. And it's really unique. Also, I played a little show yesterday. It was like for competition winners, and Danish people, they just sit there so politely, and they don't really, like, they're not screaming. Mm. They're just like, almost if they smile, they'll get a bit embarrassed or shy. They've smiled. It's like really nice, man. Like, just very respectful people in a beautiful town with so much history. We watched the changing of the guard the other day. We saw the palace, which is really cool. But yeah, I absolutely love it here. I feel like this is my new second home.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of love coming to you from Denmark this time around, and we are going to talk more about that. But you know, you are going out on this tour this year, and you're also visiting Denmark. Do you have any rituals when you are out traveling about and seeing things? Do you have any rituals? Is there something that you need to do or need to have with you?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So wherever I am, I mean I've been doing this for 6 years. I think I go to a cafe every morning on my own, no matter what city I'm in. And I have a journal. I just write down, you know, things that I've done, things that I want to do, things that I hope to happen in the future, to-do lists for the day, my intention of the day, what I'm trying to get, you know, just to get out of my head. And I do that. I get an iced Americano and I find a cafe wherever I am. And sometimes I'm in America, it's a crappy diner. Do you know what I mean? Or it's Joe the Juice, or I do a nice cafe. And I find that to be the best thing because it just helps me create like a narrative of knowing what's going on, because, you know, things can get so overwhelming when things are happening and when they're not, that it helps me kind of keep focused and know where I'm headed. So that's one thing I do everywhere I'm going. Yeah.
That makes sense that you need some kind of similarities between what you do every morning or when you're out, because everything is changing all around you. So you need to have some kind of space that's kind of similar.
Exactly. And I think most people have like a lot, like, you know, most people have normal jobs where they're like, you know, you come into work at 9 and there's no routine in my life. If I wanted to, it's like, I could just be like, I'm not getting up. I'm staying in bed, or like, I'm, you know, there's no, so you have to force yourself. And I find that's one way for me to, wherever I am in the world, to have that routine, because I'm one of those people, if I'm just in one place, I love it. I feel like really good. And when I'm out on the road, I feel it can just get overwhelming. So it helps to center me for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I saw on your Facebook page that you posted a very, very nice video where you played one of your songs. And in this video, you played Be All Right. And you did it like, it seemed like a small bar or a small diner where you played for a small crowd. And then it edited to you playing the same song in front of thousands of people.
Yes.
And that is 5 years later. And I'm curious, what does it mean to you, or what does it mean to you that you have been through that journey? Because other people right now, they can be like winning programs. They can shoot up and become stars from one day or another. Yeah. And it seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you have, you know, you took the long road. You earned your success.
Yeah.
So what does that mean when you're standing in front of thousands of people and you're not just like became a star from one day to another?
Yeah, look, it means a lot more now in my life. I mean, you know, when it's all happening, I mean, I always viewed it as songwriting. Like, I viewed it as like, if I write really good songs, then, you know, things will happen. And I still have that fundamental belief that really good art will connect, no matter what, if you're cool, not cool, all the gatekeepers in the world. If you write something that connects, it connects. Perfect example, Half a Man, my song. But I think I really appreciate it more now, and I did take the long road. I guess I've never been one of those artists that's like really cool. Like, I've never been like, you know, like, and I've also never tried to chase that celebrity game. I just really want to write songs, and I want to put out great stuff. And I found over time that those great songs keep connecting, which has been no more evident than here in Denmark. Like, I thought my it's funny talking about that video, which was 2 years ago. You know, I kind of thought that after 2 years of 2 years off and going, oh wow, like things aren't really, I'm not really as hot anymore. Like I can't, are people even that interested? Do they remember me? And then all of a sudden, Half a Man starts blowing up in Denmark. I'm like, what? Like, and then, you know, my team's like, oh yeah, it's going to go back down. You know, songs come up and go. I'm like, oh wow. Cause this song wasn't a single and I always wanted it to be. And it was like one of my favorite songs. And then all of a sudden Denmark starts playing Half a Man. It starts going up the charts and it stays up there. And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait, I might have another chance at this. And so in a weird way, I feel like Denmark gave me a second chance at doing this again. Because I was as cold as you could get everywhere else. Like the songs, I just think things weren't connecting. Mm. It'd been too long. So I think I did take the long road, and I'm appreciative that it's starting up again. From all places, it's Denmark. So thank you.
Yeah, and we're going to talk more about that, because that's like this major fantastic story about this guy who did your song at an X Factor audition. But you just mentioned that you didn't chase being cool.
Yeah, yeah.
How can you chase that? Or how didn't you chase that?
Yeah. So in Australia, I mean, you know, there's certain radio stations that like people try to get on, like when you're starting out, because it's a cool thing, or like, you know, and people I think it happens everywhere around the world, tailor your music to try to be something to get like on certain things. And it's a really, you know, it's a attractive prospect to, oh, okay, if you make this kind of thing, you get on this kind of thing and you'll be cool. And then, you know, I'm always like, I just want to write like really emotional, true songs. And like, I want it to be big and successful, but it was like, I didn't ever care about being cool, the coolest thing, or like, you know, being, see, and I found that over time, it just following that route, following my own intuition and just writing these songs and finding my own style, everything just keeps, I mean, it's growing and growing and growing. And so that's kind of how I feel about that.
And Dean, I think we should talk about in a moment the thing you just mentioned, the fact that Tobias, the Danish contestant at the Danish X Factor, he used your song, Half a Man, for his X Factor audition, which has meant a lot for this song's popularity here in Denmark. But let's talk more about that in a moment.
Det her er Aftenklubben på Nova. Lyden af Danmark om aftenen. Det her er Aftenklubben på Nova podcast.
And Dean, now I think we should talk a little bit about this strange thing that happened to your song, Half a Man, because it is a two-year-old song from your debut album, and it wasn't a big hit. But then suddenly this year it was used in the Danish X Factor. The contestant Tobias, he used it for his audition, and suddenly it began climbing the charts. And we are going to talk about how you experienced that. But first of all, do you even have in Australia, do you have X Factor?
Yeah, I think we do. I mean, we've had it. I don't think it's as big in Australia as it is here. It's like enormous in Denmark, I've realized. But we have had it.
I was kind of surprised that I just saw the ratings for TV, I think it was last week, where there was the final episode of Borgen, which is this very popular international DR drama TV show, which is very popular around the world. That was the final episode of that season. And then there was X Factor, and X Factor has had more views.
Oh my God.
Which it makes it very evident how popular that program is. But this contestant, he sang a song, Half a Man, and it became like this giant hit. It went up to the charts. And I'm just curious, how did you find out that a regular guy, at that point at least, he played one of your songs?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a testament to Tobias, because, like, you know, people have played that song on shows. I actually think on, like, American Idol and stuff like that, I think over years you get the odd person who will, here and there, who will, like, sing it. But Tobias did it, and I got sent it from like, it was actually the night it happened. I just got sent some videos, you know, DMs. People just be, oh, someone sang your song. And I was like, oh, this is really, I watched it. I was like, oh, I could feel the emotion in his voice. So it's a testament to him, because he has a story and he was able to connect the lyrics to his story, and it came out through his performance. And then I sent it to my team. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And then you kind of think, and then it went up the charts, and then I'm like, oh, great. And then everyone said, oh, yeah, but this happens all the time. Like, it goes up and goes down. And I remember going, yeah, but like, I said, yeah, but it's like on like the Apple Music and Spotify and UC Music, it was like going up the charts. And I was like, is that normal? I don't think that's normal. But everyone's like, yeah, it's going to come back down. I'm like, okay, no worries. And then all of a sudden it like stays there and keeps growing. And we're like, we went to the number one most streamed. And I'm like, all right. So I was in Los Angeles at the time and I jumped in a car and we tried to find a Danish flag. Because I'm like,
in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. And we called around, we called every place. No one sold Danish flags. And this is at a time where I felt like, oh, like I just felt like everything was kind of done. Like I had some great songs, but I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get these songs, you know, out now. And, but we're like, this is so cool to have people interested again. And we drove out to this town called Whittier, 2 hours outside of Los Angeles, this place that hired flags. They didn't sell them. So we hired the flag for like $50. And then we went up to the rooftop of this car park and we took a photo when it went to number one. It was like, that was the same day, I think. And, we were just like so excited. And then all this news kept coming in, it kept flowing in. And it was like, it's getting added to all these things. And then all these Danish fans started sending me videos. I've never had this before. Even when Be Alright, which was as big as Half a Man is in Denmark, but everywhere in the world, it was gigantic, this song. But I never had people sending me these videos like these Danish fans would, like just people in their houses listening to it or like at clubs. And like, it's really unique. And then I started saying to my team, I'm like, because we just announced this tour and I was like, I'm like, guys, I reckon we could do an arena here. And they're like, no way. And I'm like, no, I've never felt this. And they convinced me not to, even though I think if it sells out enough, we upgrade to one. But I mean, who knows? Fingers crossed. But but it's really exciting. It's like, I know the song seems to have become part of whatever that thing is right now in Denmark. Mm. It's very known and, you know, the song has so much meaning to it. It's not like a throwaway song. It's about how am I supposed to love you when I don't love who I am? And I think it's one of those lines that, you know, is one of those things that you say, it describes how a lot of people feel. So I'm glad this one's connecting.
And it definitely is. And especially with Tobias, who did this great performance on X Factor. What does it mean for you that a guy who is as good as he is, that's one thing, but just a regular guy, he goes up and performs your song. I mean, he did it amazingly. Yeah. What does that mean to you?
I mean, every time someone sings one of my songs, I mean, look, I got signed when I was 26 or something. I started, you know, late. And
you're 34 now?
Yeah. So I started late, 27 or 26 when I got signed. And I, you know, so I'd live my life as like the guy who was like, you know, I didn't have that ego. I was like, oh, my life is kind of like, I'm not doing anything extraordinary in my life. You know what I mean? I was one of those guys who was like, man, listen to my new song. I'm amazing. I was always like, I wrote this. Do you like it? You know, like, I don't know. Cause I needed the team around me to go, no, you can do this. And then, so whenever I see someone sing my song and anyone who's doing it, it always blows my mind because if I got signed when I was 18, I'd probably be like, yeah, I'm the man. You know what I mean?
I'm the boss.
I'm the boss. Yeah. But you know, I lived my life and I lived my life through this years being the guy that wasn't the guy who, you know, I was in the room and, you know, I was the sound guy with the boom pole behind a camera, who no one talked to. Like, you know, if you did a good job was when no one talked to you. So when I see other people singing my songs, it still blows my mind. It still makes me feel really good, especially with Tobias because he connected to it. It was a special performance from him. Specifically, yeah. As well. So.
I'm curious because now you mentioned it that you got signed when you were like 26. That is pretty late. Why was it that was the point in time where you got signed? Did you try to get signed before, and it just happened, or why was it that you kind of came in late in the game?
Well, I never thought I was that good at things. I think there's two kinds of people. There's like the people that like think they're good, and maybe they are or they're not. And there's people that like, you know, a little bit more unsure. So I used to write songs in my room and I thought, yeah, I had a good voice, but I was like, I didn't really know how to write songs properly then. And then I wrote one song and I sent it to like 30 managers when I was like 24 and like no one replied, no one. And I went, oh, okay, that's it. I just like let it go. And then my best friend passed a demo onto my now manager on a boat. And she listened to it and signed me to write songs for like a publishing deal.
Yeah.
And then I started writing songs for other people. Funnily enough, on X Factor contestants.
Oh.
I was like writing songs. Because you know how they'd have like the song that they'd release?
Yeah, like the final winning
prize. The winning song. Yeah. So I would like, we were like writing with a lot of those artists from there. And then I was like, and then So I didn't really try that hard. And then, because I didn't think it was that good. And then all of a sudden I got this publishing deal, and then I wrote this song called Waves, and then I released that and got a record deal. And it just went crazy in Australia. It went like 8 times platinum. And that was my first song. And then I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. Then I put out Be Alright, and it went like 3 times platinum in America and around the world. And I'm like, oh, this is guaranteed to happen every time. And then, you know, you kind of take your put, I took my pedal off the gas and was like, oh, this is just kind of cruised. And like, and then things kind of cooled off a little bit. And then this happened.
And so, Waves, that came out like 2017?
It's 5 years ago now.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it has gone pretty fast, actually.
It's gone really fast. So this is just my second album as well. So I think COVID extended things. I would have probably put out a year ago. I think for a lot of artists, it was just like an extra year of waiting. The plan was just to wait for it to end, and now it's like, you know, you could be waiting forever. So
nobody knows what's going to happen.
Exactly.
But what does it tell you that this song, Half a Man, which has been a success on the charts because of, among other things, that Tobias, he did his version of it. What does it say to you that this song that wasn't a single, it wasn't a, and correct me if I'm wrong, it wasn't a smash hit when it came out. Suddenly this becomes a hit?
Yeah.
What does that make you think about what makes a hit, or what music has to be heard? I mean, you have, I guess you have thought about something about that. What is a hit? Because this didn't become a hit when it first came out.
I think there's two things. One, that like when I wrote that song and when I wrote the chorus, I remember the hairs on my back of my neck stood up, and I said to my friends, I'm like, this, has anyone else written this? I was like, that line, how am I supposed to love you? And I was like, I felt like it was like, I was like, that's too good. Like I thought, I was like, there's no way I just came up with that. And no one had sung it. And then, you know what? The other thing I learned was that you got to trust your instincts. I think when you have success, like when Be Right started becoming big, I stopped listening to what I thought should be the song that we should go with. You sort of start to listen to people around you who have great intentions, who are great at what they do. But sometimes people will be like, no, this is the song because it sounds, this sounds like a hit. But what I've learned, and this is something that I've really learned, and same with the new song Hurtless, and the reason that I wrote that was I was able to, with Sitting Half a Man and Be Alright, I was able to look back and go, oh, these songs connected. This is what I'm good at. Stop trying to do all these other things you're not good at. Focus on this one thing. And for me, whatever reason, when I write songs that are like emotional, that are connected to the heart, they seem to connect. When I try to do like a really big pop song, it doesn't. So it just basically let me know that, you know, if you write something that's good and undeniable, it will connect somewhere, and to trust my instincts more. So I'm following that.
That makes me think of the musical. Have you seen that on Netflix, Tick, Tick, Boom? Andrew Garfield, he plays a guy. It's a true story about a guy who, the guy who made up Rent, the musical. I saw an interview with Andrew Garfield where he told that he was told from a music teacher that he wasn't able to sing. The teacher told him.
Yes.
And then he met Lin-Manuel Miranda, I think it's called, the guy who did Hamilton and now do all the kind of music for Disney movies.
Yeah.
And he's the guy who directed Tick, Tick, Boom. And he was told that everybody can sing. They just have to find their own voice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And within that, everybody can sing.
I like that.
Yeah. And that's kind of similar to what you're saying, that if you just find what you do,
Yes.
then that will work.
Totally. And I think as a lot of artists can get caught up in like you, it's a weird thing. It's not quite ego. Maybe it is. It is when you have success, a lot of people, I notice it now. Like I notice it now when certain artists, they'll do something and it's really, because I, you know, watch as well. And I'm aware of it for myself. They'll like do something and it's really successful, and then they'll change completely, which I think is good at some point in your career. But if you do it too quickly, you can alienate the people, the reason you're here. And I'm not arrogant enough to think that I can do everything. You know, I think it's good to, I also think it's good as an artist. You want to find your thing, find your voice, as you say, and the more you go into yourself, the more individual you can actually become in a weird way.
Yeah.
So I think one thing I'm trying to do now is carve out my own little sound, which is Be Alright, which is Half a Man, which is the new song Hurtless. Like these things are undeniably me, and I can't do all those other things, but I can do this one little thing pretty good.
Yeah, you're pretty good at that. The new song is also pretty amazing. It's called Hurtless, and we're going to listen to it and talk about it in a moment. But first, I would like to talk with you about another singer-songwriter who had just been in this this thing, this court drama, you can say. Ed Sheeran, he was just in this thing where he wasn't found guilty of copying another artist's music. And I would like to talk with you about, you know, that kind of situation, because I would like to hear how you think of that, you know, that difficulties of making music that doesn't sound like anybody else's music. But before we go to that, we just have a small break.
Det her er Aftenklubben på Nova.
Lyden af Danmark om aftenen. Det her er Aftenklubben på Nova podcast.
And Dean, now I would like to talk with you about this Ed Sheeran lawsuit, because it is kind of an interesting case, I think, because he is a singer-songwriter, you are a singer-songwriter, and he just won a case against him. The thing is, another artist had claimed that Ed Sheeran has ripped some of their song to make his own Shape of You, which has become this gigantic hit. And I just think it's kind of interesting because you are yourself a popular singer-songwriter with over 5 billion streams worldwide. And I'm just curious, when you write a song, how do you make sure that no other song in history of songs isn't similar to yours, or that you subconsciously in some ways are borrowing from something else?
Yeah, that's such a good question. Yeah, it's I mean, you'll do it. I mean, sometimes you're writing a song and then you'll sing something. I mean, I've done it like 3 times in my life, and I'll be like, look at this, and I'll show someone, and they'll go, like, I'll write it on guitar, and they'll be like, you know that's this song, and I'm like, oh God. Like, I'm just, because you reinterpret, and then you have to just basically start from scratch. As I think I watched Ed's thing, he said, there's only 12 notes, and that's really true. And you know what's funny? He's like the greatest songwriter of all time. Like, it's, you know, he's had, what, 50 hits? You know, like, it's outrageous. Like, and he just keeps coming back with these incredible songs, and he's the greatest of all time, and I feel bad for him that he went through that. But, there's only 12 notes. I think the thing is, you just got to be aware of it. There's still a lot of ways to be individual. As you can tell, like, for instance, Half a Man's a piano ballad, and the chords that I'm playing are, like, the chords that other people, everyone uses those chords, like, everyone does. But yeah, I guess, but there's still ways to come up with individual things. I mean, there's so many combinations of lyrics and melody. But yeah, if you ever do something that's too similar, like for me, I just will be like, you know, you realize and you go, oh damn, I thought that was really good. And that was someone else. And then you just start a new song, you know.
But that's the thing. Every week that is released, I don't know how many thousand songs worldwide.
I think you said 60,000 a day or something. Is that what this is? Or is it a week? It's an outrageous amount of songs.
It's
right
a
now.
Lot, no matter how you interpret it. And I'm just curious, how can you as an artist, like, do something to make sure that something isn't similar, anything like that? Are you, when you release a song or when you write a song, are you conscious about that? Do you think about it, or do you try not to think about, oh, this shouldn't be sounding like something else?
Well, you know, it's funny. The person that I would say that I actually reference the most is my first album. And lately, like, looking, you know, I've been looking back at my stuff.
That's a great guy to be referencing.
Yeah, just to, because my thing is trying to go into myself more, like figure out my thing to my next. How do you not do it? I mean, I guess it's really just people around you. I have enough people, like teams and stuff like that, that if I showed people a song, and if I ever had something that was too similar, they would say, I think that sounds like that. And then you'd listen and go, but that hasn't really happened. I think it really, for me, it only happens when I'm like writing on guitar, and you'll write something and then think you're a genius for a second. And then it's like, turns out to be like, no, that was Paul McCartney's Let It Be. You know what I mean? But you're singing it like, Let Me See. You're like, let me see. And then you show your managers and they go, that's Let It Be. And you go, oh damn it. But that's it. I mean, it's pretty obvious, but I mean, you know, I've never had a situation like that, you know, touch wood, but yeah, it's a tough situation, man, and I feel bad for him. He had to go through that, but he's just the gene. He's the best, man. Like, so much respect for him. I think every singer songwriter out there looks up to him and just goes, "You're just the best."
Yeah. How did you learn to play the guitar?
My dad showed me when I was young. But I have no musical theory knowledge. I just used to watch Oasis and like the Kooks, and I would learn how to play songs. It's so, like, the chords that I use are so simple. I try to keep it really simple, and then so when something is simple, you can really sing what you want over the top, and you can get really specific with details, lyrics and melody and stuff like that. But that's why I say to singer-songwriters starting out, it's like, they're like it's all out there. Like, look at a song. It's like a masterclass in how to write a song. Just look at a song and go look at the chords. Mm. That's how you learn.
Do you have like a favorite when we talk about technical songwriting skills? Do you have any song where you think that kind of nailed it pretty good?
Yes. Dancing in the Dark by Bruce Springsteen is something that I mean, lyrically, like how he describes scenes blew my mind. What is the lyric of like, he talks about how he's like the radio's on and he's moving around the place. He checks, he's looking in the mirror. I hate my clothes, my hair, my face. Like that visual style of just so visual. Mm. I love that. And, you know, it's like, that's a style of songwriting. So I love creating visuals like that. That blew my mind when I looked at it, I studied it. And I'm like, how does he do that? And so it's literally as simple as saying, you know, I look up from the ground and see your sad and teary eyes. Like, you know, do you just describe scenes? I'm sitting in this room singing into a microphone. Sometimes if you sing that, you know, and describe a scene, it's almost as beautiful as trying to write the most poetic words you can think of, because that's really hard. You know, like, how am I supposed to love you when I don't love who I am? That's like, for me, that's like one line. I'm going to come up with one of those every like 6 years, you know what I mean? So for the rest of the time, you want to draw visuals. And then in the chorus, I try to make, that's like the meaning, the summary of the feeling. So that can be a little bit more like metaphorical and stuff like that. But then in the verses, I try to make it really specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. One of my favorite movies is also the ones that, you know, use visuals to tell complex feelings, emotions, and stories. Like one of my favorite movies, Forrest Gump.
Yes.
Life is like a box of chocolates. You'll never know what you're going to get.
It's a great line.
Yeah. And that shows like complexities about life, but like symbolized with chocolate.
100%. 100%. It's like, and it says it more than in any, that's really intelligent. Those lines.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to come up with.
Yeah. Like it's great, great movie. See if you haven't watched it, if you listen to this. Yeah. Now we need to talk about Hurtless, the new song you have.
Yes. Yes.
It was released last week. And I've heard it is supposed to be like a continuation of one of your earlier songs.
Be Alright.
Be Alright, yes. Yeah. How is that a continuation of that?
Well, I found myself in the same situation again. And it's also, to be honest, like it's almost like a sister song for me, because Be Alright's a weird song. And it was by far that's like the one I'm outside of Denmark. This is the only place where Puff Man's my biggest. But, you know, and that style of song is very unique, because it's almost like the verses are almost like, they're not really, it's like singing, but it's also like spoken word. And so Hurtless is the first song in that style that I've done since then. And it is kind of me finding myself in that same situation. So it is kind of like a sequel. And the reaction's been like, you know, when you release a song, like by the end of the first day, you can feel the reaction. And
how do we feel that?
Well, you feel it because you get all these messages, like people start reposting it on Instagram or the TikTok or whatever, like, and people comment on things. And as an artist and someone I've put out, like, I mean, one album, and I've put out a couple of singles. The last two, by the end of the day, I went, a lot of comments, a lot of people messaging, and you're reading them and you're seeing what they feel, how they're connecting to it, and they might fall short. And by the end of the day, it kind of slows down a little bit. And so when I put out Hurtless, I was kind of like, I know this is a really good song. Like, I feel like this is the first song that I've done in like since my last album that is genuinely me and has a chance. But you never know until you release it. And we're still just a week away, but it's already like going up the charts in Australia. It's we're looking at like, it's like on some of the digital platforms, like almost top 10, and it's gone up quicker than Be Alright and all the other songs I've had. The messages I'm getting from people are relentless. They're not stopping, and people's connecting to it and saying what it means to them. And this is like, when I released Be Alright, I knew it was a good song. And when I released Hurtless, I knew it was a good song. And there's been a bit of time in between then where I felt like I love these songs, but I don't know if this is what my fans want exactly. Mm. But seeing the reaction has been so special. And I'm just getting all those feelings that I had, although I don't want to get too carried away because it's still just a week and you never know what's going to happen, but it's really exciting.
How do you celebrate it? When you release a song like this, you have a good intuition, you have a good feeling about the song, and it is accepted, it is received pretty well. Yeah. How do you celebrate that?
Well,
you're from Australia, I guess.
Yeah,
it's something about some beers and barbecues.
Yeah, look, I think you know, I'm like one of those people, I'm like, the work begins. Oh, wait, the songs work. Like the songs actually, you know, it's funny. There's a few things like this. I'll be happy. Like I'm trying to get out of this mindset, but okay, this, I want the song to do well. It comes out. Oh, the song's doing well. Should we celebrate? No. How can we help it now do better? Do you know what I mean? Because I'm like, oh, wait, I'm having, okay, this song's connecting now. I can see it. Okay. Well, what can I do to help it do more? Like, what can I do to get it out there and stuff like that? So we haven't celebrated yet, but, you know, if that's funny, if it gets to the next point, I will. And then when I get there, I'll say the same thing.
But so, how would you?
How would I celebrate? I would probably just have my whole team. We'd probably, you know, my managers live in Los Angeles. So I'd probably try to get back there and have like a dinner with everyone. We'd just like have a big celebratory dinner. But I'm really proud of this one, man. Like I just, this one I knew no matter what would happen, undeniably to me, it's a song that will connect to people. I just know that despite everything else.
And with that, I think we should listen to it. It's called Hurtless. And Dean Lewis, it was a pleasure meeting you, and I wish you all the best in the world.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I remember the day that we met. You were like a light I didn't know that I needed. You had a smile that could warm up the New York cold. It wasn't long till we both caught feelings. I didn't know that we both had demons. But it's funny how time reveals it all. And you stayed out that night after we had a fight. And my friends said they saw you with him at the bar where we met. While I'm here in our bed, do you even regret what you did? 'Cause it was never meant to end like this. Standing in the rain in your black dress. So go ahead and tell me what I did to deserve this. And I'm not saying we were perfect. I hope the one night with him was worth it. But telling me that it was a mistake don't make it hurt less. It don't make it hurt less. Standing there as you list off your reasons made me feel like a fool for believing. You reach for my hand as I turn to leave, but you keep on holding on. And your eyes started falling, weighed down with despair. And you turned around and said, this isn't fair. It was only one night, there were no feelings shared. So I looked in your eyes and I said, it was never meant to end like this. Standing in the rain in your black dress. So go ahead and tell me what I did to deserve this. And I'm not saying we were perfect. I hope the one night with him was worth it. Telling me that it was a mistake don't make it hurt less. It don't make it hurt. I know the day will come when this won't hurt anymore. And all the pain is just an afterthought. If I'm strong enough to let you in, I can let you out again. And I hope someday you'll find someone to love you like I did. 'Cause it was never meant to end like this. Standing in the rain in your black dress. So go ahead and tell me what I did to deserve this. And I'm not saying we were perfect. Oh, one night with him was worth it. But telling me that it was a mistake don't make it hurt less. It don't make it hurt.
Misser du noget i denne eller en tidligere udsendelse? Hop ind på radioplay.dk, så kan du høre alle udsendelser som podcast.
Det her er Aftenklubben på Nova.